You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Good morning. Have a seat. Thank you, worship team. How good is it when your kids one-up you? Hey? I always thought the hardest thing I do in my life is speak publicly, but to sing publicly, I think, takes it to another level. So thank you. It's really good. Really good. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. If you're following us online, welcome. And if you're a visitor at RBC, a big welcome too, a big warm welcome. We are going through the book of Colossians. And this week, we're on week three. And it's week three out of four. Yes. Yes. A little review there. There might be a few questions coming your way. Maybe. So week one, I love Milo. He gave us this context, this history of deeper understanding of the situation. And I was pretty amazed. Like, Paul never, ever met the Colossians. And he never, ever met RBC, but we have the letter. And then last week, week two, Chris shared from chapter two, just a message on grace and forgiveness. And do we really grasp the gift of freedom God has given us through his son Jesus, who is living in us today? Do we grasp that? Yes, a few heads nodding. All right. Chris also said, you've got some homework to do, church. Do you remember that bit? Hey, if you haven't caught up with the series, go online, go onto YouTube and have a look at them. And it's really, really handy to go back and, yeah, look at the sermons. I enjoy doing that. What was our task? What was our homework this week? Yes, yes. Read chapter 3. I read chapter 3. I did my homework. But it got me thinking a little bit. What about chapter 1 and chapter 2? Are we just focused on chapter 3, or have we forgotten about those things in chapter 1 and 2 as we head into chapter 3? What's in the mix? That's what I want to talk about first today. Okay. Actually, it happened last night. In our house, often there's some baking that goes on. And I think there's a bit of a discussion around the recipe for chocolate mousse last night. We ended up having a really nice chocolate mousse. But yeah, quite often someone in the house is baking. And the challenge this morning is to look at what's in the mix of Scripture. I want to say that when we read Scripture, we need to mix it well. We need to follow the recipe and we don't want to leave anything out. Here's my example. I'll read this to you. This is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming. Should I leave it there? No, thankfully. You know, we can sit in this scripture. We can take it just on its own and read it just on its own. And all of a sudden, this encouraging letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae maybe doesn't seem as encouraging. You know, I was talking about cake before, and I've got a little thing I want to show you here. I might ask for some help. Actually, Sophia, you've been really good on the stage. Would you like to come and help me again? All right, in here, we have some ingredients, okay? Tell you what we've got. We've got plain flour. Let's put that to the side. Oh, self-raising flour. I don't know what cake recipe I'm going on with here, but that's all right. We've got caster sugar. Ooh, that's nice. And we also have in here some milk. Okay. Who Who's ever eaten a cake by just eating one ingredient at a time? See where I'm going with this? All right, here's our bowl. Sophia, could you put a little bit of plain flour in? There's our spoon. If you can't see, we'll hold it up and show it. Just pop it in. It's okay. We're mixing. Can you guys see? We've got some flour in there. It's not a cake yet. We've got some caster sugar. Do you want to put some of that in? I think about caster sugar. And I think about the different ingredients that Paul writes in the scripture. You know, in chapter 1, he says to the church, "You are holy and blameless." But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to the present you, holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And sometimes I think, well, that's all the nice sugar that we can eat. But it has to be mixed, right? So we've got our different scriptures that we're putting in and mixing. Let's finally put in a little bit of milk. Do we leave it there, church? Who are the bakers in the house this morning? I think there's a bit of work to be done, right? Sophia, can you mix up a bit for us, please? So we're creating this mixture of scripture as we read this letter from Paul. Can everyone see? Can you guys see on that side? Sophia's working really hard. She's mixing up. Yep. Excellent. Thank you, Sophia. It's not quite done though, is it? We've got a batter. Sorry, it's not perfect, this analogy, but it'll get my point across. The cake has to go into the oven. There's time spent in the oven, in the heat. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to come and work in us. Yeah? Bit like the oven, there's some rising going on. There's some growth in that cake, okay? The Holy Spirit is transforming us into this cake. And you're like, where's the cake? Well, just for effect. Oh, yeah. Here's something I prepared earlier. Okay. And I won't eat it in front of you now. I thought that would be really mean. But the point is that as we look at scripture, as we read it, as we go through chapter by chapter, it's so important to mix everything together. Allow it to work in us. Allow it to sit, to meditate on the Word of God and really see what God wants, see how He wants us to transform. Now, I think any cake that you have needs a candle and a light. Yeah? And I think of the light as Jesus. He tops our cake off. We can celebrate with Him, knowing that He's done a good work in us. Okay? The transformation in us through the mix of the scriptures. Can I encourage you to sit down at some point and read Colossians as the letter that it's intended to be? Go from the start to the end. You don't have to break it up into different spots and different places. I mean, it's really helpful to be able to do that. I'm not saying that that is wrong. But at some point, take the time, sit down and read the letter that Paul wrote to you. So the next question for today is, what is Paul saying in chapter 3? Again, we have to consider what's happened in chapter 2. Paul's been attacking false philosophy in chapter 2. And then there's this moment in chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, which the Bible scholars, they call it a bit of a hinge. You see, Paul provides a true alternative to what's going on for these people in Colossae who are under attack from false philosophy. Let's read these scriptures together. So chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then it goes on to say, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. So again, consider that Paul has just attacked the false philosophies in Colossae. There was a mix of all different religions, superstitions, etc. going on in that city. And Paul was just reminding them to set their sights on Jesus. Actually, Paul was reminding them of their identity in Jesus. He was telling them who they were in Jesus. I think we've got some similarities with the Colossians at the moment, because our world is full of these things. These things that want to tear us away or trick us away from seeing Jesus and focusing on him. So maybe, just maybe right now, we're reading this letter going, okay, this is relevant to me because I've got some similarities with the Colossians. And it's saying today, set your mind on Jesus. I mean, who doesn't get excited? You will appear with him in glory. Come on, church, you'll appear with Jesus in glory. What a promise. What an amazing thing. So with all the things going on in the world, if you love Jesus, if you're following Jesus, if you're giving your heart to him, if you believe in his gospel, you will appear with him in glory. Yeah? Yes. I love it that Paul just reminds them of who they are in Christ and in God. So I've already read verse 5 and 6. I'll leave that. But Paul goes on to say, don't go back to the way you once lived. Don't go back to those old ways. And in verse 10, he says this, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Verse 11, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave, Scythian, thank you, Mila. I knew you'd have my back there. Slave or free. Christ is in all and is in all. Christ is in all. Do you know, I did look up Scythians. Do you know that they're fierce barbarians? Who were really good at warfare on the back of horses. Imagine living with those people. The amazing thing here, though, is that they're all one in Jesus. RBC, we are all one in Jesus today. We're all one. And I love, like I love myself, for me, I love how Paul gets it. In Timothy 1:15, he writes this, and Paul admits this, that he is the worst of sinners. Think about what he's just read and think about what he is saying to us about grace and who we are in Christ. And then he admits that he is the worst of sinners. I think Paul's mixing this cake up really well. I think he's got the mix going really well and understands the mix of who we are in God. Paul says, put on your new self. You are being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. And I love how Paul recognizes that this is a bit of a journey. So we're all one in Jesus, but we've all got different things going on in our lives. We've all got things that are hard, things that are good, things that God is put in the oven and he's working on and it's transforming. We're all transforming. We're all at different points of that transformation. Whether you met Jesus yesterday or you've known him for 80 years, we are all on different points, but we are all one and we're all together in Jesus. How good's that? So RBC family, what now? Verse 12 goes on to say, you are chosen, holy and loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive. I love how Paul actually tells us what to put on, what we're clothed in and what to wear. And I love that he's telling a group of believers here how to act and how to be with one another. I think it's so amazing. It's the love that holds us together too, church. Our church family, this year we have a very heavy emphasis on RBC and coming together as family. Like Jesus has got us, right? But the love is going to hold us together. His love and our love for one another. We just have this really loving instruction of how we can all live together and be together as Christians. Holy, blameless, coming together. We recognize the sin. We recognize that we're all the worst of sinners, but somehow yet, through what God has done, through what Jesus has done, we're loved by him and we're together in unity in Jesus Christ. We had I work as a chaplain in school, and a couple of weeks ago we had the Year 8 Beach Day. It's a highlight on the calendar. And the games I was playing with the kids, I run like, there's four groups and we run different games and we have a bit of fun. But the theme for Year 8 this year is all about friendship and being together. So the games we were playing were about how you can work together and how you can be a team. And one of them is that they all line up. So the beach is down here. They line up and they've got a bucket of water and they have to pass it over and under until they get to the bucket at the back and they put the water that's left in it. So the first group comes in and they decide, yep, we can do this. Scoop it up really easily, and the first person holds it over the head, which is a little bit hard, and the water spills down the back all over the person that's behind them, and it's a bit of a laugh. But then they decide, okay, well, I'm going to do that to the next person, and it takes them a little while, and they're all splashing, covered in water and sand and having fun. But what they've missed is that as someone's holding something up that's a little bit hard, the person behind them can step in and pick it up and grab it without spilling any water. So they learn teamwork. And the reason I wanted to share that story with you is because I wonder if we can do that as a church. You know, with this knowing who we are in Christ, knowing his love for us, can we step towards each other and help and pick up the bucket and pick up the water and get to the end goal to appear in glory with Jesus? I think I just think it's a great story. The Year 8s are funny, but it was good fun just enjoying teamwork with them and watching them grow, just even in that short little time I had with them. The final point today that I want to make with you is this, and it comes from chapter 3, verse 23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So Paul writes all the way through chapter 3, and this is where he gets to. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not human masters. I think that covers everything we do, not just what we do in church or how we read the Bible or how we pray. Like, this includes going to work, it includes sitting in traffic. It's Paul's saying here, like, everything you do, include Jesus, do it for him. Yeah, it's a mindset that helps you in your calling, in what you're meant to be doing, in your journey. And I think it's really important, but also really think it's important for us as a church, that as we are serving, as we're coming to church, as we're praising, as we're listening to a message, as we're praying together, that we're doing it for Jesus. And that's our heart. So these things that God teaches us, you know, we clothe ourselves and we love one another as a family. And we do this with the motivation of working for Jesus and loving him. I think if I go to wrap everything up now, on the last slide, is there one more slide? Yeah, here we are. My final thoughts. The mix, church. Do you remember that bit? It was a little while ago now, but are you eating cake? I hope you're not going home and just shoving in flour. I hope there's some good mixing going on. I pray that there's some good teaching and there's some good things, and the Holy Spirit's working in you and teaching you and sharing wisdom and love and all these amazing things that God has for you. And then finally, I was thinking, what does this sum up? How does this all sum up, this part of Colossians? And it's a scripture you all know. It's the greatest commandment, isn't it? It's love God and love your neighbor. So that's where I'm going to leave it today. Leave you with that thought. The mix, are you eating cake, and love God and love your neighbor. Awesome. Amazing church. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.